God's truth is always with us, for we are of God. We are already one with God. But we are asleep to truth, which means that we do not have conscious awareness of truth and therefore cannot know its presence. The Son of God, the Christ within, is in everyone on earth and is constantly prompting us to return to truth. We confuse this with the search we have for the things out here in the world. We confuse what we feel within as a search for happiness and love, the perfect job, the perfect relationship, and other earthly things. The stirring that we feel inside is divine spirit guiding us to our true place. When we have a life out here that we like, we presume that it is a gift from God, and it is. When we realize it is the Father within who doeth the works, we are grateful. This is the time that we are open to God, our Father, and have realizations of a life filled with joy and peace and happiness and all that is good. For some, this is interpreted as being favored by God. But did you know, for God, there is no difference between sinners and saints. People in prison, people in hospitals, parents, teachers, robbers, the rich, the poor, the young, the old, there is no difference for Him. He only knows us as His perfect child. In truth, there has never been a difference, ever. We all have the same opportunities to know God. And we all have the same opportunity to know truth, not just in us, but in everyone. Truth, as defined by divine science, is all that God is, infinite, eternal good. Many believe that their good comes from good luck. A person wins millions in the lottery and says how lucky they are. There is no such thing as luck, only consciousness. For most, it takes a long time to recognize truth and to live by truth. Now, God is always in action, but if we don't have a relationship with Him, we will be unable to see or hear Him. God, truth, is the real source of all that is good, all that is pure, all that is divine, all that is eternal and perfect. Now, intuitively, we know already that we have it, but we have forgotten that it is in stillness of mind and heart that God shows us the way and reveals the truth of our being. When we listen to people around us, it appears that we all have different goals and different purposes. In reality, we all have but one purpose, to know God and to be a witness to His truth and to do His will and only His will. Now, we all seek a better life, but such searching is really for our soul to return to the Father's house. For the still small voice tells us over and over again, turn to me, and I will turn to you, and I will deliver you to life everlasting with all of its glories. In Matthew, we are told to ask, and it shall be given you. But the asking is not an asking for things. We know this because we have asked many times and probably have seen very little come to us. And yet at times we don't ask and we receive. When we ask with our hearts for God to show the way, give us guidance, light the path, the answers are then revealed. When our asking is sincere, not to be helped with some problem or some desire, but the asking is for the sole purpose to know God and to know how to find our way, The answers come flowing so quickly, we start to believe we have a line connected directly with God. And we do. For God lives and abides within our being. That is the beauty of our reality. We don't have to go far or struggle hard, for our Lord has never left us. Helen B. Close, in the year 1919, wrote, "God is all there is. The whole universe is God mine, and God moves from within himself. You and I are the image and likeness of God and move within ourselves. God moves within himself. So the moving of spirit is the moving of the almighty mind. And when a movement begins, there is no God beside me. All is God. You, me, everyone on the planet, and everything else. There is no separation. There is only one, and this is God, and God is truth." So some may say, if we are one with God right now, why doesn't he just take us all up into heaven? We must understand that we have individual will. So we get to choose the path that we take. God cannot force us onto any particular path. You see, we must return to God voluntarily because we are not robots or puppets. We must come to the place where we believe in God and want to serve his purpose, not our purpose. God's will for us is very simple: to express his divine qualities and to know truth and to live truth. When Jesus said to the disciples that they will do greater things than what they witnessed him do, he was saying, "Know truth. You too will feed the hungry, heal the sick, raise the dead." God's will is not to make us do something. No, for God, again, he cannot make us do anything. He already equipped us with the answer to return to his kingdom. Be still. Be still and let go of the outer world and learn to live from the inner being. You and I were created in a finished kingdom. God sees us as we truly are, perfect spiritual beings, not as human beings. Remember that the human existence is a temporary condition of consciousness. Now, we talk a lot about God's will, almost as if he could create the good and the bad. But think about it. If God creates the one good, pure, and perfect being, how can he create imperfection? Or bad, or evil, or error? God's nature knows nothing of evil, bad, or error, mistake, or temporary conditions. He cannot create nor recognize anything that is not of his nature. He knows us because in reality, we are spiritual beings. God does not know us as human beings. God's will for us all is that we know eternal life and experience his good, the only real good there is. His love for us is unconditional and lives in infinity. There are beliefs that God will be known when we die. How can we know God when we die if he doesn't know death? For God, there is only eternal life. In divine science, we learn that not only can we know God now, but if we do the spiritual work, it is guaranteed we will know God. God is to be known and experienced right where we are, when his presence is realized within our individual consciousness. The human belief that we are the Son of Man dissolves, and we then experience our birthright as a child of God. This is what we are seeking, to know and experience God, our Father, right here where we are. We are not here to have many accomplishments, or to acquire many things, receiving our glory when we die. We are to turn to God in His silence, abiding with Him over and over again, until our consciousness is transformed and God's Word is revealed in us, and we have the awareness that the Father and I are one. The Bible tells us to choose this day who we will serve. One of the things that keeps us from recognizing and knowing truth is fear. We are afraid that perhaps turning within to be still may not be enough to know God and to serve His will. And how do we know what His will is anyway? Some of us are so attached to people in our lives, places that we love, and the work that we do, that we don't want to leave. We want to stay right here. It seems so simple, yet many struggle with being still and abiding in God's silence. I will tell you what my music teacher used to tell me when I was a child. I kept asking her, how does one get to play at Carnegie Hall? I wanted to play at Carnegie Hall when I was 9 years old. Her answer was always the same. Practice, practice, practice. How do you know God? Practice, practice, practice. We practice the silence. We are still. Every day we get up and face the world according to where we are in consciousness. And I'm tired of my consciousness producing snow. It is our beliefs, fears, disappointments, successes, desires, and other things that fill our consciousness with the appearances and experiences we eventually have to face and get beyond. One day things are great, the next day they're not. When we look at Jesus' experiences, we find that He faced temptations also. The temptations are to turn away from truth and believe in the limited world that we live in. Jesus didn't give in to the temptations. Instead, He turned to God, knowing God was the one being, the one power, who is all in all. Where evil and illness or discord of any kind, including death, does not exist. To seek and find, knock and it will be open, means to stop looking externally for our good. The Bible tells us that God is life, and if He is life, that means He is eternal and infinite being. God is the strength of our soul and power of our being. But until our soul recognizes this truth, we will feel that something is missing. Because the truth is, we don't belong in the human experience, we belong in the God experience. To be healed means to awaken from the dream that we are separate and apart from God. We are perfect, whether we feel it now or know it now or not, we are perfect. Part of our problem is that we don't understand the law of cause and effect. We can't hold beliefs that are contrary to God's truth and expect an experience different from that thinking. The law of cause and effect applies not only to the physical realm, but to the mental realm. That which we believe with our hearts, whether we think they are good or bad, we are destined to experience. I am sure that some of you saw the movie The Blind Side, a true story about an African-American homeless teenager, Michael, who was taken in by a well-to-do conservative Southern family. Michael overcomes many adversities. He becomes a star athlete in high school and was a draft pick by the NFL and is now playing professional football with the Baltimore Ravens. Throughout the movie, I wanted to get a glimpse into this young man's mind. I wanted to understand, how did he end up where he did? His birth mother was a drug addict, very poor, and within all of the craziness in her life, she loved Michael. When Michael was a little boy and bad things were going on around, His mother would tell him to close his eyes until she told him to open them again. She used to say that the bad was behind them and it was a brighter day to go forward. Then I understood how Michael adopted that philosophy so that no matter what happened, he was able to let it go and go forward. Had he not had this way of thinking, he never would have accepted to live with a family that was so different from what he knew. You and I have the power of choice. We can choose that we will accept as true what is as true in our mind and heart. Now, the heart is a very important part. This is where we feel and express our emotions. Our beliefs with emotion ensures that we will experience whatever it is we hold in mind. It is said in Proverbs, as we think in our heart, so are we in the world. We are destined to experience and be that which we accept in our feeling nature, the heart. As we are aware, thoughts come and go. Some we keep and others we discard. But that which we accept from our heart becomes the road that we take. And it matters not if we accept something that we like or something that we fear. It is easier to let go of thoughts that come and go in our head, but that which we hold in our heart takes a strong hold of our belief system, and it is very difficult, while not impossible, to change. Right thinking is when we have spiritual understanding that God lives in all and is all. When we turn to God, all of our so-called sins will turn white as snow and melt away. For in God, His presence, there is no sin or wrongdoing of any kind. We must stop believing we can do something to God or to get Him to be in our, that we can be in His favor or get Him to do something for us. We can't change God's nature in any way. God cannot do something for us that He wasn't doing from the beginning. If we could change God, He wouldn't be God. God to be God has to be changeless. Otherwise, He isn't eternal. He can't change or influence. We can't change or influence God no matter what we do. We can only change ourselves from sowing to the flesh to sowing to the Spirit, divine Spirit. What is changed is our behavior and outlook, but not our reality. We can't change the truth that we are spiritual beings living in God. It doesn't matter what we experience, think, or feel. We are of God and have always been of God and will always be of God. The only thing we could do is delay our conscious awareness of God's kingdom. God's peace and love and power are always seeking to express through us. So let us not delay any longer. Instead, let us seek to have a relationship with God, and in doing so, find ourselves in the midst of love and peace. As one of my favorite authors says, "The heavenly union of ye in me and I in you can never be broken or altered." This is one union that is above time and circumstance, above earth and death. Christ is always with us. Christ is the eternal remedy, the love and support for all problems to melt away. We have a choice. We can continue to accept the appearances of this world as real and face the ever-changing nature, that is, and its consequences, or we can turn to God so that we will know that the Father and I are one. Today, let us choose God, and His truth will lead the way, the answer to our search. In the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ, chapter 22, Jesus said, "Truth is that thing that changes not." In all the world, there are two things. One is truth, the other is falsehood. And truth is that which is, and falsehood that which seems to be. The holy breath is truth, is that which was and is and evermore shall be. It cannot change nor pass away. It is in prayer and silent meditation where we meet God and surrender to do His will. We must abide in the silence of God, listening with every inch of our heart and soul. Let us turn within for personal communion several times a day, every day. But remember, turning to the silence is not something we do once in a blue moon. It is something we do every single day. Be still and quiet so that we can learn to pray. God will teach us to pray the correct prayer, which is to be silent. We have to go in on a regular basis. Let us not allow the appearances to determine what we believe and what we do. We must seek not our understanding, but God's divine wisdom. Let our mantra be to practice the presence of God day in and day out. Let us make God a priority in our life. For in our spiritual unfoldment, we hear God say, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I in the midst of thee am almighty. I in the midst of Moses made the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. I in the midst of Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes and healed the multitudes. With divine spirit we can do all things through Christ. The Christ within strengthens us. We can say, I stand before you ready to do your will and your will only. For your truth shall make me free. Let us put this lesson to practice. If you feel comfortable, close your eyes. Just let go of all that's consumed you this week. Don't worry about anything. Let's just turn our attention and our focus within, listening also quietly, abiding, knowing that God is here. His presence is always with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. For you and I are His beloved. God's love and peace and wisdom, abundance, is always here. His kingdom is already here. It is we who must turn to Him quietly, anticipating that His presence will surround us and that we will know Him. Let us be still. Work is finished. It is His pure and perfect consciousness that lives within us, always ready to respond, to lead, to guide, to show us the way. His truth will teach us, for the Master Teacher lives within us. We are so grateful for your loving presence, always with us, always guiding and showing us the way. back to your heaven, your kingdom. And so it is. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines His face upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you life everlasting. Amen.